What is up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Primal King Podcast. This is episode number 127. All right, so today I want to chat with you a little bit about the two things that actually will create change. Really, when it comes down to it, there's only two things that will create change, that will allow you to make change, and actually hold you accountable to stick to that change. Two things, really, really simple. Talked a little bit about it before, but I really wanted to dive deep in it right now because I think, based on a conversation I had with a friend of mine, really kind of rang true and wanted to share all with you guys. Also, if you haven't yet, I keep telling you, and I know, you know, we get all these people listening to the podcast, but maybe you haven't tried Crosso Meats yet. Why not? I don't understand it. Like, you've got to give it a shot. So right now, there is certain things, if you're listening to this as it comes out, the podcast, there are some cuts available. We did just restock a couple days ago. It goes fast. It always does. But there is at least some availability. So make sure, if you haven't, go to crossomeats.com. So cross, the letter O, meats, M-E-A-T-S.com, crossomeats.com. Give it a chance. Try it out. See what you think. I mean, like, for me, if you eat the way that I do, I eat like a couple pounds of ground beef every week. There's no comparison to the stuff that you're going to find at a grocery store. No disrespect to anybody that has a grocery store, but the reality is it just is different. So you got to give it a shot. Go to crossomeats.com. Check it out. All right, everybody, let's get started. So the question is this: how do we live the best life that we can with the limited amount of time that we get to be here? Is it by accumulating success and fame and fortune and everything else that society tells us that we need in order to be fulfilled? Or is it much more simple than that? My name is Derek Wilson. I'm the host of the Primal King Podcast, and we're going to be answering this as well as many other questions as we move forward. What is up, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal King Podcast. As always, super excited to have you on board. So today I want to chat with you a little bit about a conversation I was having with a friend of mine. So what most people don't understand is that if you were to strip everything away, like let's say that we were to strip everything away, all of the cool little slogans and mottos, like if you truly want change, how do you do it? So at the most basic form, there's two reasons why someone will change. There's two reasons why someone will buy something, why someone will, you know, maybe you'll see them one time and they're 60 pounds overweight, and then a year later you see them and they're, you know, fit. There's two reasons. And so I think that so often when we're looking to make changes, when we're looking to improve ourselves, when we're looking to do so many different things in our life, we get stuck in all of this information, like this analysis paralysis, right? All these shiny objects coming at us, and it's like, oh, maybe I need that diet. Maybe I need, you know, that exercise equipment. Maybe I need, you know, that business book or that, like all that stuff is great. It's great. But there's always going to be two reasons that make you do something. Okay. There's two things. And this is just like the most basic human psychology that you can ever understand. And so what I wanted to talk with you about today is, what are those two things and how can you actually use those to make changes in your own life? So it really comes down to this. People will move, they will act, they will change, they will buy, whatever it may be, for one of two reasons. And I've talked a little bit about this, but I think that it's very relevant with everything that's going on right now. Number one, people will do something to gain pleasure. Okay? They will do things to gain pleasure. But that's not the number one motivating factor, right? Like, that's not the number one motivator that will make people change. But that is one of the two that will actually create change. Again, to gain pleasure. The most powerful one is to avoid pain. Okay? The most powerful motivating factor that you'll ever encounter is to avoid pain. The way that you could look at this is, think about it this way. If you had your leg cut off and all of the pain that comes around that, you would literally do anything to stop the pain. Anything. You know, you'll take any pill, you'll see any doctor. Like, you don't have time to sit there and be like, What are my options? My leg just got cut off. Maybe I should go seek a second opinion. Maybe I should, you know, not take that pill that some doctor, maybe I should research it, right, first. No, like, literally the only thing that you will be thinking is that right now, I have to avoid this pain. So that is the number one motivating factor that will allow you to change. Again, the second thing is to gain pleasure, right? Gain pleasure. That's the reason why we do things like buy fancy cars, right? Build big houses when maybe we don't need them. That's one of the reasons why we do a lot of the things that we do is to gain pleasure, status, right? That's another way people will talk about it, to gain status. I mean, at the end of the day, if you buy yourself a, you know, a $150,000 car, it's to gain pleasure, right? It's a status move. It's usually not to avoid pain at that point. I mean, if you're going from a car that breaks down every day and you buy a new vehicle, then yeah, you're avoiding pain. But again, like, we also are motivated to gain pleasure, right? Like, that's why we do a lot of the things that we do. That's why we, you know, spend exorbitant amounts on concert tickets maybe, or, you know, go to football games or sporting events, right? Like, that pleases us. It gives us pleasure, right? It's one of the reasons why we'll you know, drive and watch our kids play sports games hours and hours away, hop on planes and go across the country, because that brings us pleasure. That's not so much avoiding pain, but again, that's another thing that will make us move. So I was having this conversation because basically the way that it came down is, what made you finally decide that you were going to lose weight? And really my exact answer was, finally, I was at a point in my life to where being overweight was more painful, right? And I wasn't, like, for those of you who know me, like, I wouldn't say I was like obese or anything like that, but I was definitely carrying around some extra weight, right? But it was like the pain of that was much more than the pain of being maybe on what some would consider like a restrictive diet or the pain of working out. Like, I would rather, at that point in my life, I made the determination that I would rather avoid the pain of being overweight than the pain of eating better, you know, eating clean, staying away from sugar and carbs and stuff like that, and working out every day. Now, I had already been working out, so that really wasn't a big thing. But for me, the pain was more so, you know, eating good, eating clean, maybe even looking at what I felt was eating clean differently, right? Educating myself around that. And so, like, when he was asking me, like, well, yeah, what did you do? Did you just finally get tired of being fat? And it's like, well, yeah, basically, right? I mean, like, yeah, pretty much. But it was all, honestly, it was deeper than that. Like, the motivating factor for me, again, was like the pain of being overweight. I didn't want that pain anymore. I just finally was like, I'm done. I'm done with the pain of carrying around the excess fat. Like, I've got to do something to avoid this pain. And so what you'll notice as you go through life, there's so many different areas of your life that you'll notice that you might think that you're in pain, but the fixing of that, for whatever reason in your brain, seems like it would be more painful, right? I think weight loss is such a fascinating thing around psychology and mindset. Because, first off, you have to think, like being overweight is such a new problem, right? Like, I heard a doctor the other day saying that, I believe it was 2013, something like that, was like the first year in human history that more people died from being overweight than from, like, malnutrition. So you have to understand that, first off, like, having food plentiful for us is very, very new from, like, an evolutionary standpoint. Like, very rarely throughout history have people had, like, an abundance of food. And once we have that abundance of food, right, like, we want to eat to survive. We want to eat to stay alive. Again, avoid the pain of being hungry. But then we eat the wrong stuff, and it makes us addicted to food, and we could go off on that tangent. But I found that fascinating because that is kind of a new problem, right? Like, we're used to evolutionarily, right? Like, eating as much as we can when we find food, but we might not find food for 3 or 4 more days. So we just better gorge ourselves while we can. That's why a lot of people believe in things like intermittent fasting, right? Or fasting a day or two a week, because they believe our bodies were built that way. I'm not educated enough to talk on that. I can tell you I intermittent fast. It's worked for me, whatever, right? But having said that, typically I believe, like, coming back to the psychological standpoint of this, is very, very fascinating to know why it is that people make decisions. Again, to avoid pain. And then secondly, to gain pleasure. So with weight loss, again, like, what some people will think when it comes to weight loss is that, oh my gosh, like, yeah, I don't want to eat that way. I don't want to miss out on my desserts or my ice creams or whatever else. So no. And basically what you're doing, and because I've been there, like, I feel like I'm pretty qualified to talk about this, which is like, I remember being like, no, I'm not willing to give up this, this, and this in order to gain that, which means the pain of giving up the foods that I really, really liked was not at that point greater than being overweight. And so once I was able to kind of flip that around and almost like brainwash myself in a way to be like, you know what, being overweight is much more painful than eating better is, right? Being overweight is much more painful than working out is, because being overweight leads to this problem and that problem and this health problem and, you know, pre-diabetes and high blood pressure and all this stuff, right? But it's very, very hard when you're in the middle of it to make that correlation, unless you actually go to your doctor and they're like, yeah, you got really high blood pressure, you're overweight. And let's face it, most doctors aren't going to outright be like, hey, you need to lose some weight. They're going to be like, hey, let's get you on this pill. Let's get you on that medication. Yeah, you need to cut. I mean, what does every doctor say when you go there and you have like high cholesterol? Yep, you need to cut down on the red meat and eat less salt, right? Again, whatever. There's probably a lot of new stuff that's come out that would debunk that. But again, I'm not going to die on that hill. So what I'm telling you, though, is that doing that alone isn't going to do it. Like, probably what they should be saying is like, hey, like, you know how we pump cattle full of grain to like make them get fat? Maybe you should stop eating the same stuff that like we feed cattle to make them fat, because maybe it's actually making you fat too, right? But the pain of removing those types of foods might be for you, has been for me in the past, greater than the pain of being overweight. And so I believe that if you can flip that switch, if you can, in a way, somehow, some way, do things that make the pain of being overweight or the pain of being poor, the pain of being broke, the pain of being, in bad relationships, if you can figure out a way to make that pain and make yourself understand that the pain of those things are worse than the pain of whatever it's going to do to correct that, that's when you get change. That's when you'll get change. And this happens so often, right? Like maybe it's in marriage. Maybe the pain of going to counseling seems so big in our brain that the pain of our bad marriage doesn't seem like it, you know, like it's that bad. Like, I'd almost rather deal with a kind of a bad marriage than the pain of having to like, yeah, tell my friends that we went to marriage counseling, or tell my friends that, things aren't great in paradise or whatever it may be. Like, we look at the pain of that being bigger than the pain of maybe being in a bad relationship. And so what happens? Nothing. Nothing happens, which means nothing gets fixed. And then you see divorces and everything else. The second side of this, again, is to gain pleasure, right? Why is it that you see so many pharmaceutical companies? What do? They use both of these things. And this isn't a dig at pharmaceuticals. Like, we're not even going to talk about that. It's more the marketing behind it, because it's fascinating to understand. You'll see these commercials where it's like, you know, have you been suffering with this? And it sees the, you know, it shows maybe the person sitting there in pain. You know, maybe it's an arthritis medication or something like that, and the person can't open their hands and all this stuff. And then it's like, if you just take this medication, you know, and then it's like they're out there with their grandkids throwing them in the air. Pleasure, right? So they hit on both of those two most important human emotions or actions: avoiding pain and then gaining pleasure. Avoid the pain of not being able to open your hands. But now if you use our product, the pleasure is that now you can play with your grandkids. You can take them on the swing. You can do all this stuff, right? I mean, it's absolutely great marketing. Now, whether it works or not, I don't know, but it absolutely solves the problem of hitting on those two main things that will make people make different decisions, right? That will create change. Again, like coming from the sales side of things, if you're ever wondering if you're being sold something, see if people are tapping into one of those two things. Because number one, if the salesperson that's trying to sell you whatever it is, is worth their salt at all as a salesperson, like, they're going to tap into those two things, right? They're going to try to get you to, name any product, right? Like, you can go and buy a couch. What do they say? What do you have now? What type of couch do you have now? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Does it have like electricity in it now to where you can plug in your phone? Because it's pain in the butt, like, to get up and go put your phone on the counter and let it charge and then sit back down and gorge yourself on social media for the next 3 hours. Like, how much less pain would it be if you could just plug it right into the couch and sit there on the couch with your phone, right? Like, that may not seem like a huge pain point, but it is a pain point, because maybe it is a pain for you to have to go and put the phone somewhere else while you sit on the couch. And God forbid we don't have our phone in our hand for like an hour while it charges, right? Think about a car, right? They'll hit on both of those. They'll hit on them. You know, how often do you go in there? It's like, oh, you know, do you have to commute to work? Oh yeah, that car out there, it doesn't get very good gas mileage, does it? Yeah, man, gas prices are pretty bad right now. Yeah, this car here, it actually gets 40 miles to the gallon. And how much money would that save you? Right? Pain, right? Because we all know right now we're getting hammered at the gas tank. So let's hit on that pain. Let's hit on avoiding that pain, avoiding all that money that goes into the gas. Like, don't worry about the $80,000 or whatever you're going to spend on your vehicle. Worry about the, you know, 30 bucks that you're going to save every time you fill up your gas tank, right? Or how much longer you're going to be able to run gas if you're not having to put it all in there. And so I tell you all of this because I truly think that so often we get so stuck and we're just like, I don't know how to change. I don't know what to do in order to change. I'm broke. I'm tired. I'm overweight, whatever it may be. How do I actually make change that will last? And this is it. You have to either A, figure out how to make whatever it is that you're trying to avoid more painful than the solution to that, or B, you have to figure out how to make whatever your goal is so much more pleasing or pleasurable than what you're currently doing. Those are the two options. Believe me, how many people on January 1st go out and absolutely flood all the gyms, right? People who are like normal gym people, they hate the 1st of January. They hate like the first 2 weeks of January. Because why? They can't get in there. Every piece of equipment's taken up. It's just packed in there. And then by usually like, you know, the third week of January, the beginning of February, it's back to normal. It's kind of your couple people in there, you know, working out, flexing in front of the mirror, whatever, right? Why is that? Because so many people think that a January 1st resolution is going to get them through losing weight, is going to get them fit. It's not. There's one thing that will, though, is that if every morning when they get up and they're sore and they're tired, they think, you know what? The pain of being sore and being tired and not wanting to go to the gym is still less than the pain of being overweight, the pain of not being able to function properly, whatever it may be. And so if you can figure out how to motivate yourself using that pain and how to understand that the pain of doing this is less than the pain of doing that, that's how you create lasting change. Like the pain of me when I first started doing like the carnivore diet, right? And again, I'm not advocating that you have to eat this way. I'm not saying that. But what I'll tell you is that a lot of people look at that as being very, very restrictive, right? Like literally you're only eating things that come from an animal. Okay. So it's not like you have this big wide variety of pastas and, you know, all this stuff that these weight loss commercials talk to you about. No, you don't. It's like literally, does it come from an animal? Yeah. Okay, great. I'll eat it. If it doesn't, then no, I won't. And so it is very, very restrictive. But to me, the pain of having like a restrictive diet was less than the pain of me being overweight. And so for me, as hard as it was in the beginning, it actually became pretty easy because I started seeing weight fall off and it's like, okay, great. Like the pain of eating this way is way less. Now, it's not even painful at all to eat this way. Like I'm getting skinnier. I'm getting more fit. I can move better. Like I always thought I was like super unflexible, like to bend down and touch my toes. No, the problem was my gut was in the way, right? It wasn't that I wasn't that flexible. It was like literally, I just couldn't get around my gut to touch, you know, tie my shoes, stuff like that. By the way, like if you're ever wondering if you're overweight, I have this down to a science for us guys, girls, it's different for you probably. But there's two ways. You want me to tell you if you know if you're overweight? I've struggled with this, you know, a big part of my life. Number one, do you have to hold your breath when you bend down to tie your shoes? Okay, that's a real thing. I've been there. You're like hold your breath, like tie your shoe, because when you go down, it squishes everything, right? Second thing is that when you bend over, does your underwear band flip? Okay, if you've never had that problem, it sucks, right? Like this is, in my version, kind of like my own personal fat man test. It's like, do I have to hold my breath when I bend down to tie my shoes? And when I bend down to tie my shoes or grab something off the ground, does my underwear band flip over my pants? That means you kind of Dunlopped, right? Like your belly Dunlopped over your belt. And so like those were the two things. And I was suffering for both of those pretty bad. And then like, once I started losing weight, it's like, oh, I can actually bend over and tie my shoes and not have to hold my breath. Oh my gosh. Like I can bend over and tie my shoes and not have my underwear band flip over. Right. like these are awesome. Like I'm passing the fat man test finally for the first time in like 25 years of my life. Right. So 20 years, whatever it's been. And so, little fun with it there though, right? Like if you bend over and have to, I'm not trying to call anybody fat or fat shame. I'm just saying like for me personally, that's how I know if I'm fat or not. Like if those two things are happening. So anyways, like again though, to kind of circle this back around and finish this up, is that just remember, there's two things that will make you change. I spent a lot of time on this episode talking about weight loss, and it has directly to do with the conversation I just had. But the same thing is applicable to any area of life. Relationships, you'll make changes in relationships when the pain of that relationship becomes greater than the pain of the change, right? Yeah. So same thing in business so often. Like, and yes, sometimes like you won't recognize the pain of like being super broke because maybe like your mindset isn't there to know that there's something that's less painful than being super broke. Like some people we just accept that, look, I'll just be broke my whole life. It's okay. You know, it's okay. And maybe being broke isn't painful. And if that's the case, then great. Like if you can be happy being broke, great. But a lot of times the pain of kind of fixing that is actually less than the pain of wondering how you're going to pay your bills, how you're going to put food on the table. You know, maybe the pain of learning new skills and trying to up your value in the marketplace, things like that. Maybe that's actually less than trying to figure out how to pay your bills. And if you can switch your mindset around that, it will do wonders for you. So again, there's two ways. If you're going to buy something, if you're going to sell something, if you're going to make a change in your life, any of that, it's either to avoid pain or to gain pleasure. And you can use those basic psychological truths to make big, big changes. You just got to frame it the right way. All right, everybody. As always, hope you have an awesome day, awesome weekend. Talk to y'all next week. See ya.
I absolutely love having you as a listener of the Primal King podcast. If you don't want to miss out on the great content, then it's time to hit that subscribe button right now. Do not be left behind. And then share your thoughts and feedback with a written review of the show. I read every single one of these, and it helps me make sure I am serving you best. It also allows others to find this content, and it builds this community. Make it an awesome day, and we'll see you next time.